So today we come to the end of our sermon series that we've called Flipped. And today's scripture is the end piece of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It comes with a shift in mood and a sense of urgency. There's some dualistic thinking in it, saying that there's going to be consequences for the choices that we make. Are we going to listen? How are we going to respond to this flipped way of life that Jesus has been talking about? So Matthew 7, verses 13 through 29. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow, and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do so many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Challenging words. Enter by the narrow gate. And we also heard in the scripture, build your house on the rock. Two powerful metaphors that express what it's like to live and embrace that life that Jesus has been talking about. I want to start today by talking about that narrow gate, the hard road that leads to life. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few that find it. Well, Jesus is comparing life to a path that we walk. We're all travelers. Everyone is walking a road to some destination. And even if you don't think you're moving, we're all moving in time, if not space. And we're all on a road. And all roads go somewhere, even if it's in a circle. It helps, though, to have some idea of where we'd like to go. If we want to go from here to Oregon, then we better be heading on a road going north. If we want to go to Mexico, we better go south. We all have to choose a way. We have to be able to read the signs and listen to directions. Sometimes, though, it's just easier to follow the crowd, figuring that they know the way and it must be the best way. I went to a friend's party the other day, up in the woods off of Highway 17 beyond San Jose. I was traveling alone and I'd never been there before, and at that point I had no cell coverage as I pulled off the highway. The directions I had were a little convoluted and printed slightly too small for me to easily read without my glasses. I pulled off the highway behind another car, and as I drove along the road, every time I turned, the car in front had turned as well. I started to wonder if he was going to the same party as I was, and I took a chance and began to follow him. And I was pretty relieved when he did indeed pull into the church parking lot. Of course, if he hadn't been going there, I'd have been fairly lost. Following the crowd is not always the best of ideas, because the crowd doesn't always know the way. Jesus says that there are few who find the way to live the way that God intends. It's not the way that the crowd generally wants to carry you, and we tend to get swept up in wherever the crowd is going. And it's not even the way that some Christians suggest. False prophets, as Jesus calls them. He says that you can tell who to listen to and to follow by the fruit in their lives. The love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know those fruits of the Spirit. The life-giving road is a narrow road. It's a hard road. The way will be hard. And it requires risk and sacrifice. It's all the things that Jesus has been talking about in his sermon that we've been listening to over the last few weeks, ways that flip our thinking and are not easy. What road do we travel when we're faced by the big issues in our country? By a gun culture that leaves a 17-year-old boy killed for playing music too loud in his car? Or this week, a 15-year-old girl killed for the prank egging of a car? When we're faced by racism that incarcerates people of color at much higher rates than white people? What road do we travel when we're faced by homophobia that saw a law passed this week in Arizona that's starting to sound like the return of a Jim Crow-style discriminatory law? What road do we travel when we're faced by complex immigration issues where record levels of deporting undocumented immigrants include in the last 2 years the parents of more than 200,000 US citizen children that have left families and congregations ripped apart and devastated? Perhaps the road looks like this. Faith leaders joined immigrant leaders in prophetic witness on President's Day this week to send a message to the White House that we need some better solutions, some humane immigration reform. The pray-in event included two United Methodist bishops, Bishop Minerva Carcano and Bishop Julius Trimble, who along with the rest of the group were arrested and briefly detained for civil disobedience. What does the road look like for you? Each of us has to answer questions like, where is God in this place? What's God doing here? And then how can we partner with God's purpose? What's the life-giving road for us, for each of you, and for others? The difference is in which road we choose. Are we going to choose the road that leads to redemption for us and others? You know, choosing isn't a one-time choice. Every day we get to choose the path that we're on. And if we find that we're on the wrong one, we can change our choices. Although Jesus's voice was urgent, because after we've chosen to go down one path, we can't always return to exactly the same place to try the other path. Perhaps the best-known commentary on this passage is Robert Frost's well-known poem, The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveller, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. And now we come to our second metaphor about houses built on rock or sand. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, was a carpenter. So Jesus knew a lot about building. You know, taken literally, the story that he told was true. Around Palestine, if you build in the dry season, when not a drop of rain falls, any house is going to seem secure until the rains come. And then the rains and the winds and the floods, they gush down the dry wadis, the valleys, the deep dry beds, and overwhelm the house that's built on sand, while the house built on rock stays secure. And as we think about how this might apply to us, we are all builders. We build our own lives, making decisions and living with the consequences. You know, over the last few weeks, we've talked about truth-telling, judging others, using words in appropriate ways, pride and the motives behind our actions, anger, forgiveness, non-violent resistance, loving our enemies, worry, anxiety, and fear. We wreck our lives when we base them on bad habits. Jesus' words weren't just good advice. We find that when we live by them, that they're the laws on which the structure of life is built. We become more authentically human. The people that we were created to be, when Jesus' words become the foundation of our lives. You know, we're all builders. And we all live in the houses that we build. Here's a story that I've come across a few times. There was a wealthy man who laid blueprints before his secretary and told him, "I'm leaving on an extended trip. I want you to build a house for me in a location above the lake. And I'm going to be gone for about 10 months. Here are the plans, and here's all the specifications and the money needed to cover the cost." Well, the astute employee saw a chance to feather his own nest, so he hired a crooked contractor, employed unskilled labor wherever he could, put cheap inferior materials into the building, and when it was finished, it had the appearance of magnificence, but it was really poorly constructed, an insubstantial shell. And the employer returned, went with the secretary to see the building, and he asked him, "What do you think of it?" "I think it's wonderful," said the secretary. "I'm glad you like it," the man said. "I'm retiring from business. I won't need your services much longer, and I want you to have a nice house in your retirement." The house is yours. When we treat others badly, it weakens the structure of our own lives. We live in the houses that we build, on the sand or on the rock. But every house wherever it's built, is going to be tested by the storms of life. In our scripture reading, the same storm came to both men, to both houses. There's symmetry in the story. The same words are used to describe the events. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Jesus doesn't promise that there's going to be no storms. What he promises is that with a strong faith foundation, we'll remain standing. We will cope with the storms. What we're being asked to realize is the assurance that comes from building our lives with a foundation on the rock, on Christ. A life that springs out of following instructions and trusting in the Lord. William Barclay tells the story of a sailor in the Navy who was severely punished for a breach of discipline. And some people thought it was too severe. A newspaper asked its readers to weigh in. One of the men who answered the newspaper said that he'd served for many years in the Navy and that the punishment was right. He said that discipline was essential, that the men should automatically and unconditionally obey orders without question because their lives may depend upon it. And he cited a case from his own experience. A large vessel was being towed in the sea by a smaller launch boat, and they were attached together with a wire hawser. Suddenly, the officer in charge of the launch yelled, "Down!" And the whole crew lay down on the deck. The wire towing hawser had snapped and it was whipping around like a maddened steel snake. If anyone had argued, they would have been dead. Obedience saves lives. Obeying the commands of Jesus gives us the resources to draw upon when the storms come. And the difference is in the foundation. How we cope with the storms that come our way depend upon the foundations that we lay. Who do we reach out to when events shake us to our very core, whether death, financial crisis, hurricane, sickness, a lack of answered prayer, or even God's silence on a topic? A relationship with Christ is not just built when walking through a time of crisis. The foundation's laid when the weather is good, when times are good. Participating in a faith community is part of a foundation that we lay. You being here today. Our mission here is to be a community of love and service, enriched by Christ. And part of that is the way that we care and take care of each other. Who would you call in the middle of the night? Do you have people to question and search with? Do you have a mentor on your Christian walk? Someone who's been a Christian for longer than you that you take your questions to? Who are you mentoring? I know in my life that I've been blessed by the mentors that I've had. One of the blessings of being in the ordination process is that we're assigned a mentor to walk through the process with us. But I've also gathered a group of people around me that I can go to when I'm struggling. And in turn, there are people who are not as far along the process who turn to me for encouragement. The scriptures, including Jesus' words, are part of the foundation that we need to be immersed in. So we listen week by week to sermons, as we wrestle with the passages in small group Bible study, as we read daily scripture and devotional readings, as we memorize favorite verses, we're going to build up a foundation that will hold us up when the storms come. Christ's words to us are our rock and a firm foundation for our lives. Jesus didn't just repeat the words of the prophets or the rabbis of his time. He taught as one who had authority in his own right. Christ is the rock, the foundation on which to build our lives. And as we come to the end of our flip series and think about the road that we're traveling on and the foundation that we're building on, I want to close with this bit of flipped humor that was circulating on the web. And I know you can't actually read that, but I'm going to read it from the top to the bottom first of all. It says, an atheist's view on life. I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is a God with a cosmic plan, that an all-powerful God brings redemption and healing to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it's only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I'm deserving of hell because of a sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose in a world with no God. There is a freedom to be, in a world with no God, there is a freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, everything is fine. It's ridiculous to think I'm lost and in need of saving. If we flip it, though, let's see the Christian's view on life. I'm going to read from the bottom to the top. I am lost and in need of saving. It's ridiculous to think everything is fine. But with God, there's a freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I'm deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings redemption and healing to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is a God with a cosmic plan. It's just foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs. As we put into action the counter-cultural words that Christ has spoken, in ways that we will discern and recognize together as a community of Christ here in this little corner of Contra Costa County, we will go through the narrow gate and build our lives on the bedrock of lasting truth. And while it's true that the passage carries an admonition about building on sand and taking the wide road, the greater truth is it conveys an assurance about building on the rock and the life-giving way that's found by going through the narrow gate. As the old hymn goes, on Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, show us the ways to build our lives with a solid foundation. Direct us through the narrow gate. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. Enable us to feel your presence in the storms of life and your guidance as we make decisions. Fill us with hope that is built on Christ's words. In the Spirit of Jesus, we pray. Amen.